and knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door, and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my good friend Blaine Cartwright, lead singer and guitarist in Nashville Pussy. Blaine, you were here last week. It's great to have you back this week on the Regal Beagle Podcast.
Glad to be back. It was a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun talking about Three's Company with you. It's fun when you talk about Three's Company with a fan.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best things ever.
And we're now in season 5, episode 14, Furley versus Furley. It aired February 17, 1981, directed by Dave Powers, written by Michael S. Baser and Kim Weisskopf. After Furley's brother Bart fires him when the kids make a complaint, Jack ends up being hired as Furley's replacement. Blaine, what'd you think of Furley versus Furley?
I was really, really good. I like Don Knotts, and this had Don Knotts in the whole thing.
Thank God.
And he actually was in a room, the roommate for, you know, I thought maybe he'd be staying more like the next week or next week, but no, it was just really great week of him crashing on their couch and just being Don Knotts, you know. Mr. Furley, rather.
We mentioned it last week with Jeffrey Tambor and the Ropers, but what are you? Are you a Furley guy or a Ropers guy?
I think I saw like the Ropers at the beginning because that's what I remember. I'm the original ones.
Wow.
Furley's really, really good though. Yeah, and so I like them. I like them both. I like them both. It's hard to choose. And Don Knotts from where my neck of the woods is mostly known for Bonnie Fife.
Right.
To the point of kind of religion. So seeing him as when we were a kid, you saw him as this guy who was a kind of like a, not a pervert, but just a frustrated dude. He was on the prowl, I guess, you know. I think that's supposed to be closer to his personality, though, from what I'd read and heard. But Don Knotts was great. I mean, Ron Howard said Don Knotts could have done, like, character acting and big dramatic movies. It was amazing, you know. So anytime he got to, like, show off his stuff and his chops, like, you know, it's just basic comedy. He's really, really good at it. You know, he can do that stuff really like no one else, you know.
Did seeing him after Barney Fife and getting to him that way, and then seeing him like this kind of loser playboy, did you kind of lose respect for Don Knotts? Like, did you change? Like, how did you? What happened?
Well, I mean, he went from Andy Griffith Show, and he won like 5 Emmys in a row, and it was like the number one show, and he got a movie deal. And he went to Andy Griffith, and he said, hey, you know, I'll stay if me and you become comedy partners for good. And Andy said, I really can't do that. So Don goes, well, I'm going to take this, you know, these movie offers. And he did the Reluctant Astronaut and Ghost of Mr. Chicken, Shake His Gun in the West, Mr. Limpet. And those are popular. Anytime he'd go back to Andy Griffith for like a guest appearance, they'd give him another Emmy. So he was really, really hot. He was a huge, huge star. So it was weird to see him in a situation comedy that was like several years into it. And but you know, he's still like, you know, he's still the basic Don Knotts character. Even when he's on the Steve Allen show, when Tom Poston and stuff, he would do like basically the nervous guy. He was a nervous guy. So that's basically what he still did, you know. But that was a good. I think I liked the episodes best when he's in as much as possible. You know what I'm saying?
Like this one,
yeah.
Furley versus Furley. It's interesting how it starts off with Jack and Janet playing an Atari 2600 football game.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what kind of game that was because this is 1981. 1981. I was already 17 years old, and I don't think I was just running around looking for girls mostly around Kentucky. So I don't really remember what games were out, but I didn't really recognize the beeps or anything. I think they just upgraded. I was doing a lot of that stuff a couple years earlier, but yeah, I was trying to figure out what game they were playing. Was just mostly consisted of beeps and them yelling at each other.
I guess back then in '81, having a home video system was the hottest thing.
Yeah, I had one friend that had one, and we used to go and play it. And he got mad and kind of held it over our heads, like, oh, you want to play my video games, you know.
Now, like you said, Furley moves in with the kids because he's been fired. So we get to see a lot of Furley's possessions, and we get to know a little bit more about Ralph Furley, that he has a lot of allergies, and that he plays the ukulele, and that he's somewhat of a songwriter.
Yeah, he was singing, what was he singing? Singing like... Burning Love. What song was it? I'm on Fire or something like that.
Fever.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I just saw an episode of Andy Griffith where he played harmonica too. Same kind of thing. Yeah.
So I guess Don Knotts had more musicality than people knew.
I think back then, a lot of people, especially in the South, you had to be a kind of all-around entertainer. So you had to sing and dance and be able to do Shakespeare and kids' plays and everything else just to get any kind of work. And that's kind of where, I know Andy Griffith found a lot of these guys, you know. So he found doing found some of those guys in doing Shakespeare or doing Death of a Salesman in New York or something like that. But they had Southern. So he mostly tried to find some people who had a base, like there were Southern accents. And so it would be authentic, but also ones that had classical training and were smart and a little worldly and stuff, yeah. So even like Goober and Gomer were people that were well-traveled. Well-traveled individuals. It just happened to sound like Goobers. it's kind of like, which I understand.
Now, Bart Furley appears again in the series, but this one...
Who played him, if you don't mind?
Hamilton Camp. And he's interesting in real life. He wrote a song called Pride of Man, and it was recorded by Gordon Lightfoot, Quicksilver Messenger Service, and Graham Parsons, and he died in 2005.
That's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, I'd recognize him, and I forgot to look him up before we did this, and because I was like, he was always a bad twerp in a bunch, and it was so weird because there was a lot of short jokes. And I don't know if you're allowed to make short jokes anymore. I don't think they're allowed to make jokes anymore.
Any jokes at all?
Yeah. But short people. I was like, yeah. Because that was the whole, everything he did was like, you're short, you're short, you're short, you're short, you're short. And that was just kind of funny. But it was weird.
But he was super intimidating and super... He was super intimidating, so that kind of made up for his shortness.
Yeah, he always creep. He would play the creep, and he always played a creep. And I try to figure out what other TV shows I saw him in, because I saw him in a bunch.
He was acting all the way till the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know you wrote a song. I didn't know you wrote songs.
I didn't know that either.
And you, do you know the song?
No. I should have checked it out.
Because of Gordon Lightfoot, I thought you had to know.
It comes with a citizenship.
Yeah, pretty much, man. So.
Well, overall, Blaine, what'd you think of Furley versus Furley?
I liked it. It becomes more real when Don Knotts is involved a lot of times. He gets you on his side, and you feel sorry for him. You really always feel sorry for Don Knotts. There's something about him, you know. True. And so when he's like fighting with his brother, even though this is a sitcom, it just seemed very real. It seemed like he was... I don't know. He seemed like he puts everything into it, no matter what, you know.
Well, thanks a lot, Blaine. Thanks for coming on the Regal Beagle podcast.
My pleasure.
Please, you're always welcome. And next time you're in the neighborhood, you got to knock on our door.
I will do that. Right, I will knock on the door.